Morning, boys and girls. Today's word is carcery. Brought to you by the letters car and Siri. This is the news according to me. There's nothing more anyway. Good morning. That's my Joe Biden impression. Anyway. January 6th, a day that will live in infamy. 9:35 Eastern Standard Time, I'm recording this. And by the way, speaking of recording, this little segue. I don't have a segue. If I had a segue, I'd be out riding it right now with my snow tires on and my... I have to be wearing a snowmobile suit. I believe the temperature outside, I know last night it was around 10 degrees. Let's see what my handy little handheld device here that I carry around with me, my communicator. It currently says, says 10 degrees. Oh, but it's supposed to start snowing soon. So that's, we got that going for us. That's great. 10 degrees. It's supposed to get up to a whopping 19 today. It's like, well, no, maybe not. Yeah, it says 19, but that's this thing. It only says it's 18 on this other part. I don't see any 19s down there on the hour by hour thing. got that going for us too as well. And it's supposed to get back down to 10 again tonight. So that's great. At least we're in double digits. That's still a good sign. I know that last night, I think it got down a little below 10. I think when I went to bed, it was like 9 degrees, at least. I mean, it was probably less than that. But I got up several times. I have a couple of furry individuals that live here in my house with me. And I'm not talking about my wife. I'm talking about we have two dogs and a cat. The cat's been pretty decent lately. It's kind of gotten into he can get into a routine. He's about a year old now, just over a year, I think. We haven't had him for quite a year, and dogs are kind of getting used to him. They're getting kind of, a little bit more, confident about telling him to get out of his, just to get away. He tries to play with them. They're about 9 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old. The dogs are, and they're just not at that age where they want to play with a cat. Now, if we had a puppy, which I keep trying to tell my wife, we need another Beauceron puppy. We can find it. It's easy enough to find. It's really easy to find Australian Shepherd. And there's plenty of those out there. It's very difficult to find a Beauceron. Our other dog, our second dog, is an Australian Shepherd. I am thoroughly amazed and impressed with that dog. I also like our Beauceron. They both, of course, they're rescues. Everybody rescues a dog now. They don't just buy a dog. They rescue one. But these really were, they did come from, I have a hard time talking about this without getting choked up still to this day. Our Beauceron was in a puppy mill. And he was locked up in a cage pretty much the first year and a half of his life. He was in a kennel. It wasn't even a kennel like you'd think of a kennel. It was more of a cage. And the way I understand it, they went in and rescued a bunch of dogs from this place. And he was full-blooded Beauceron. However, now this they don't allow papers to be transferred with these rescues. They basically raid these places and take the animals out. And we were fortunate enough to get him. Now, he was so traumatized by his lack of interaction with human beings that this one kennel rescue shelter place tried to give him to, or try, you know, they'll give him away. You pay for them. I think it's $150 or whatever it was. Helps to support the shelter. And this lady took him for about a month or so, and he was so scared of people. Now, what people didn't understand was that he was scared of people's voices. When people would talk, that's what scared him. It wasn't necessarily noises, and it wasn't necessarily people themselves. It was the voices. He was extremely shy. Now, Beaucerons are typically a dog that they're kind of a one human bonded dog. They will bond with one person. That's just kind of typical of the way they are. The French, they're a French breed that was used, actually one of the main breeds that was used to make the Doberman Pinscher. So they have a similar, very similar coloring. Kind of looks like a Rottweiler with a big bushy tail. With a long nose. The way I describe them is they look like a German Shepherd with short hair and Rottweiler coloring. That's kind of what they look like. The very, my opinion, very good looking dog. They look mean. They're not necessarily mean. They just have that guard dog look. And about an 85 pound dog, though. Don't get me wrong. He's almost 90 pounds. He's 87 pounds, I think, was the last time I weighed him. And, but he was extremely shy and like overly so, would not come to you for nothing. You could be holding a steak in your hand. He wouldn't come to you. As long as you were looking at him, he wouldn't come to you or talking to him. He would spin. He would just spin in circles because that's what he did when he was in his cage. He would just go around in circles and wouldn't come to you. He was extremely shy. I spent hours and hours, and I finally figured out that, you know, walking is good. They get bonded to you. So I walked him twice a day. I took him to the park. We walked when I first got him. We didn't have the Australian Shepherd when I first got him. And worked with him a lot doing that. We had him for a couple months before we got the Australian Shepherd. And walked him twice a day. And then I thought, you know, I could let go of the leash and he would follow me. If I was just walking around, he would follow me anywhere. As soon as I would turn around, he'd walk away and just start spinning around and try to hide. So I had to get used to him. I had to get him used to moving forward and yet not getting close to me. So what I did is I started walking, had him on a leash, and I would walk backwards so that in his brain, he was walking towards me because he saw my face. But even though I was walking away from him, he's still following me. Kind of tricked him into this idea of it's okay for him to walk towards me while I'm facing him. And let's just say I walked backwards a lot. I would lay on the ground in the house. I would lay in the house and I would lay on the floor with a piece of meat in my hand. And turn my head the other direction, hold my hand out, and just wait for him to come and take the meat from my hand. And we did that for a long time until he got more and more confident that I wasn't going to try to hurt him. What he went through is it breaks my heart. And let's just say he's much better now. He goes outside. He barks at the neighbor's dogs, barks at the neighbors, barks at any car that moves in the neighborhood. Now we're on a 7 foot, or so we have 7 acres here, and we have about a 1,000 foot long driveway. And we're in the middle of nowhere, at the end of a dead end street. So it's not like he's a barking dog that annoys the neighbors. And he only barks when he goes outside, and he's only outside when I'm outside. He pretty much stays with me. The first several years of his life, he was with me 24/7. Both the dogs were. I would go to my office and I would take the dogs with me in the morning. And I would have them with me during the day. I'd take them for a walk. And I'd take them back to the office. I would take them with me everywhere I could. The other one, the Australian Shepherd, was abandoned. Abandoned. Somebody was moving out of the neighborhood and they just left him in the fall. Now, he's an Australian Shepherd. He was probably 6 months old maybe at the time. And it was getting close to winter. It was one of the coldest winters they had had for a long time. And nobody could catch this dog. People would try to feed him. So here, now you have a dog that people are trying to give a snack to and then pounce on. So now he thinks every time you want to give him a snack, you're going to pounce on him. And he would run away from people. He thought that was what he had to do because everybody was trying to catch him. They were trying to, these humans are trying to catch me. Well, they finally did get him. They had some little boy was able to make friends with him and got a collar on him. Got a little leash on him, collar type thing. And got him. And this Australian rescue thing got him, and we ended up with him. The Beauceron, somebody else tried to adopt the Beauceron initially, and they couldn't take it. They couldn't do it. They couldn't deal with it. They just kept trying to get him to come to them, and they would call him, and they would try to get him, and they'd have him in the house, and of course he was terrorized by that, because whenever you spoke to him, he just can't stand voices. I would tell people, don't talk to him. I told the vet, don't say anything to him, just hold your hand out. Don't be any kind of aggression at all, or especially don't, he doesn't like human voices. You'd hear a human voice in the other room, and it would drive him nuts. I learned that really quickly. You just had to deal with him without using words. He was so hypersensitive to anything you were doing. You'd practically just have a thought, and he would pick it up on it. And this lady was, you know, she was an older lady, and she had him in his house, and or in her house, and her son would come over, and of course her son would, he was an older guy, but he would try to, he's barking now. He would try to get the dog to come to him. He was going to work with the dog. And he would kind of follow the dog around, chase the dog, try to catch the dog, try to get him to, you know, he was going to take over, going to be the alpha dog. But you're going to be the alpha, tell the dog what to do. Well, this doesn't work with this dog. And the dog would knock over lamps, break things, spin around, you know, try to hide behind stuff. It was a disaster. And the lady gave up on him. And took him back to the shelter. Well, we were fortunate enough to get him. And he has made so much progress. I am so proud of that dog. He's getting older now. He has some hip problems. Of course, he had some teeth problems because they didn't take care of him. He was chewing on his cage all the time. He had some scars on him from where he was apparently bitten by some other dogs. But he's been a real addition to my life. I'm not sure who rescued who there for sure. I learned a lot about myself actually from having Bo. The Australian Shepherd, they just left him go in the neighborhood, and he was fending for himself for about 6 months through the winter. Very smart dog, survived. And we ended up with him. And they were all concerned about him running away. He's a runner. He'll run away. You have to put two leashes on him when you have him. You know, each person has to have a leash. Put two leashes on him. He'll get away. So for about the first week, almost 2 weeks, we had him on a leash. And he just, you know, he wanted to run. Well, what they didn't know is he would run back. Now, he was with me the entire time for 24/7 for almost 2 weeks. And we were like, we were outside one day and we're like, I think he'll come right back. We had a big long leash. I think we can let him go. I think he'll stay here in the yard. He'd come right to us when we call him. So we let him go. And he had a blast. He ran from one end of the property to the other in about 2 seconds. Ran everywhere. He'd come right back to us. Never was a problem. Hardly ever leaves the property. And once in a while, he'll run down the end of the driveway and go down the street a little bit if he sees another dog. He'll kind of go sniff around down there a little bit. And then, if I call him, of course, he comes right back. He realizes he's gone too far. Or if he sees a deer in the yard, if I accidentally let him out and there's a deer out there, or turkeys, or a coyote, any of those wild, crazy creatures that crawl around here, he'll go chasing after that, but he comes right back. And usually with burrs all over him. So he has a lot of fun here. And he's been a real addition to our home as well. And him and the Beauceron are our best buddies. They are practically inseparable. When we take them to the kennel, and we take them to the boarding place, it's more like the Hilton. I wish some of the hotels I stayed in were as nice as that place. The dog spa that we take them to. We just keep them in the same room. They stay together almost all the time. So, having said all of that, I know this is a show about the news, but that's what's in the news today. That's the most important thing in the news today. I'm trying to avoid talking about the whole January 6th thing because you know what happened on January 6th a year ago. I stubbed my toe, and I'm still reminded of that every year. I'm going to have a big celebration, ceremony every year in remembrance of my big toe that I stubbed on January 6th in 2021. Because it was a traumatic event, and it deserves remembering. There's other things that happened on January 6th that don't deserve remembering. That stubbing my toe did, and that's what I'm going to remember about January 6th in 2021. And that's all we're going to talk about January 6th on 2020. Because nothing else happened. That's the way the news media does it. They just if they don't talk about it, it didn't happen. Or if they say it didn't happen, it didn't happen. Or if what happened a different way, they just say that way, and that's just the way it is. Like, vaccines are safe and effective. They're really, really effective. They're really, really good at fighting against variants. Did I play that? Have I played that recently? Maybe I should play that again. I wonder what happened to that. Where did that go? Airdrops. Let's see if I got that. No. See what I. It's probably in downloads. There's a whole bunch of stuff there in downloads. I don't remember. what's this one? I wonder what that one is. Oops, I just about spilled what's in my cup. We haven't even talked about what's in my cup. We've gotten through 15 minutes of show here, and we haven't even talked about what's in my cup. There's something wrong with this. Let's see what this is. Yep, here it is. This is it. This is, let's set this up a little differently so I can see what I'm actually looking at. Let's just play this, just because we can.
There's been over a 20-to-1 return.
If you had put that money into
the S&P 500
and reinvested the dividends, you'd come up with something like $17 billion. But you think it's $200 billion
here? Yeah.
You're okay. You're not gonna get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
You have the vaccines.
These vaccines are highly, highly,
highly,
effective.
Highly effective.
Vaccinated people do not carry the virus.
Head of the CDC here.
They're really, really good against
variants.
Really
good against
Everyone
variants.
Everyone takes the vaccine is not just protecting themselves, but reducing their transmission. to other people and allowing society to get back
to
normal.
Sure, Bill.
Get your first shot, and when you're due for your second, get your second shot.
And then get your booster, and then your second booster, because they're so highly effective.
So that you get almost no infection going on whatsoever.
Almost no.
They
almost can't keep a straight face.
They can feel safe that they are not going to get infected.
They're not going to get infected. They're not going to get infected. Because if we just keep saying it, that's the way it's going to be. That's what happens with that. Yeah. That's what we're going to say. That's what we're going to talk about. Yeah. Thank you very much, Mr. Fauci. These people are insufferable. You just keep saying it. That's the way it is. So what's in my cup here this morning? Well, which cup do you want to talk about? There are three cups here on my table because I am loaded for bear this morning. This is going to be the show of all shows. Not really. It's not. I don't really have any plans for today's show. The only thing I was going to talk about was my dogs. No, the only thing I was going to talk about was the word carcery apparently has become a thing now. Now, apparently when AOC, a woman who can't actually, just doesn't have a name, she just has letters. She goes by letters. And then there's those some people will actually call her by name. And her name, they'll kind of mockingly say, Alexandria Castillo-Cortez. And she likes to be the little street girl that kind of has that, the little snap in her voice with the, and when she's talking to, she does the same thing that, Barack Obama got away with this. And the media never calls him out on this stuff. In my opinion, it's the most condescending and patronizing thing that you can do. It's when you start to talk like the stereotypical person would talk that the group that you're talking to. Obama did this all the time. Hell, when I was a boy, I'd be down there in the streets playing basketball, and I'd do this. Then when he was, most of the normal time, like when he was just talking in an interview somewhere, he was just talking, like he would talk like this. And he would just, he would be a normal person, speaking the way he normally speaks. Now, how people feel about this, but I, if you can't tell, he's pandering to you and actually playing down to your intellect. If you can't tell that, then I don't know what to do for you. If you think he's just loosening up and being himself. Really? That's what you think. Okay, then. I'll give you that. If you want to believe that, you go ahead and live in your little world. Now, AOC, or AOC, as I like to call her, AOC. I don't hate her because she says that Republicans only hate her because they want to date her. I don't want to hate her because I don't want to date her. Something like that. That'd be a great song. Maybe we should get the, somebody we haven't heard from a long time. Is the, those favorite people that we have here. The, what are they called? The TNA to me singers. The TNA to me means the news according to me. news according to me singers. Haven't had them in here for a while. They haven't written anything new for a while, actually. They've been kind of on the back burner. Hasn't been a whole lot of, and maybe it's time to bring the TNA to me singers back out here. Now, part of the reason for that is because I've been extremely, I have to actually be around for a while, for a couple days at a time in order to do that. And this week has been good because I've been home almost all week. Well, I've been home all week. Actually, it has been all week. I've been home all week. Almost all week. I leave occasionally. I go to the store. Got to get a tire fixed. But I'm basically home. And so I probably should have gotten some some songs in the can. Not me, but the TN Anatomy singers. I should have had them do some songs. That would have been, you know, that would be kind of good to bring that back. Maybe, because I know some of you have been demanding to hear the, you know, TN Anatomy singers again. I'm not sure how that's going to work with the video. And speaking of video, we have, today is the official rollout day, I think. Pretty sure it's going to be done today. The account's all ready to go, and we're all ready to rumble. So we're going to rumble. Rumble. Live on Rumble today. That's the plan. I don't know what time yet. I'm trying to figure out a time when I can make it at you know, the same time every day, but I don't still know how that's going to work. Because as time goes by here, it's going to be a little more difficult. I think I'm probably looking at about 4 o'clock this afternoon, 4 to 4:30. Something like that, because later next week, I'm going to be up in Wisconsin for the whole week. And I'm going to be able to have the same time kind of thing going on. I know on Thursday of next week, it's going to be a week from today, it's going to be a little bit difficult for me to get that time slot. But I think about 4 o'clock. Yeah, 4 o'clock, possibly 4:30. Will be the normal time for the show to come on. I think maybe we'll make it 4:30. So let's just say 4:30. 4:30 today, the live show will go on. And I think today and tomorrow I can do that. And then tomorrow, is that going to work tomorrow? Yeah, it should work tomorrow. Between 4 and 4:30. Let's say 4:15. Let's say 4:12. Somewhere around there. 4:12 and a half. We'll start the live show. Sometime between 4 and 4:30. We'll try to keep it in that ballpark there. So keep an eye out for it. And the live show will be on Rumble. Now, my Rumble channel is Epic Video About Nothing. Epic Video About Nothing. E-P-I-C. V-I-D-E-O. About Nothing. All one word. The word today, though, speaking of word... we're going to go back to this. Carcery. AOC apparently discovered this word. Somebody probably around her said it, and she decided to pick this word up. And this is typical of people who are really not too bright. Let's just say they're not the brightest bulb in the tool shed. They're not the sharpest knife in the Play-Doh factory. They're just not there. And they find a word. Now, AOC was being interviewed. You notice she doesn't take a whole lot of high-profile interviews because there's not a lot of news people that want to interview her. High-profile people that want to interview her because they realize that once they start talking to her, they realize how disturbed of an individual she is and how brain dead she is. This is a woman who thought she was going to be raped on January 6th last year. She thought that they were coming after her to kill her. Now, she wasn't in the building. She was over another building in her office. And she heard someone come in. She had this whole big, long story. They'd gotten in the building. All she heard was, "Where is she? Where is she?" She had this whole acting thing going on. And she knew they were coming to rape her. If anyone who has this kind of a... This is like the woman... Like, I don't know if you ever had this experience or not. Back in high school, there were these girls who... They just thought all the boys wanted them. I know that they want them. They just want a baby. That's why they treat me that way. They just want a baby. That's why they're. No. Let me think about it. No. So there was that. That's just the way. That's her mentality. And they just think it's all about them, and everybody just wants them, and they think they're the cool kid. And everybody's jealous of them. So, she comes up with this, she came up with this whole big long story that turns out that it was a Capitol police officer assigned to detail her safety, was looking for her. She was hiding in the bathroom when he came in to look for her. She hid from him. He was there to escort her to her protected area. Now, keep in mind, this whole thing, of course, she had this whole big story about how they just wanted to rape her and kill her. That's what they were planning on doing. Yeah, because that's what that whole election was about. They're all just out there. They're just a bunch of white supremacists. The whole premise of everything that they go through is just so asinine. It just, the talking points just start to get muddled up in themselves. They don't make no sense anymore. But that's where they go with all this crap. And I hate using those kinds of words and terms. I just get tired of this. And it's disgusting and it's filthy. It's demeaning. It destroys the intellectual ability for us to have even a discussion about it, because it's just so stupid. And nobody calls them out on it. Yeah. But again, it's the leftists and the end justifies the means, and that's the way they go. I will, now, let me, I do want to pull up something here. I don't know what happened to it. Yeah. Yesterday I talked about Liz Cheney and all of her escapades, ridiculousness, everything that she has done and said. I was talking a little bit about this whole committee thing. And of course, the January 6th committee, they lost all credibility, in my opinion, when they didn't allow Jim Jordan and the other guy to be on there, the other congressman from the state of Indiana. Didn't allow them to be on the committee, but they went ahead and picked their own. And the GOP put out two people, and they didn't like them, so they picked Liz Cheney and this other guy. And let's just not pick two people who hate Trump. How would that look? Oh, okay, let's do that then. She's a partisan hack, and she's, I should say, an establishment hack. I shouldn't say a partisan hack. She's an establishment hack. She loves the fawning of attention she's getting now on CNN and MSNBC, as if she thinks those people, the very people who called her father all kinds of names and called him all kinds of things, and I can't say that they're terribly all that wrong about what they called him. But she's standing up with those people now because they're treating her really well. They love it when they get somebody from the GOP or from the Trump administration, the ex-Trump administration, people, somebody who got fired from Donald Trump. They love it when the MSNBC loves to get somebody on there that they can, oh, look, this person is saying what happened in the White House on January 6th. They have firsthand testimony of what they saw. Oh, really? Well, okay. But yeah, and then what's that? That's hearsay. It's what it's called, hearsay. First of all, there's no evidence. You can't tell what's in somebody else's mind by somebody. Bueno. This whole thing is what's really sad about this. It's this whole thing, and Liz Cheney admits it. Usually at the end of every interview that she has about this thing, because we have to see to it that Donald Trump never runs for office again. That's what this is actually about. This isn't about protecting democracy. This isn't about protecting the rule of law. This is about Donald Trump never getting into office again or never running for office again. Because somehow he's a threat to our democracy. Have you looked at what the Democrats are doing lately? Now, whenever they start talking about that, just keep in mind, everything that the Democrats have done, everything, is always the opposite of what they say they're doing. They're always blaming the other side for the very things that they do. This can be documented. I could pull out story after story after story every day of the things that they accuse the other side of doing that they are actually guilty of themselves. Jerry, you know, just let's think of Eric Swalwell. And yet he is still on the Security Council, running around with a Chinese spy. Talk about collusion with Russia. Hunter Biden. Talk about collusion with China. Hunter Biden. I mean, you want to get close to the seats of power here and talk about a threat to our democracy. I just heard a Republican again this morning on a newscast that was actually a newscast from last night, who also said that he made the mention something about the seat of our democracy. The center of our democracy, I think the center of our democracy, whatever it was. The center of our democracy is the heart of every human being in this country. That's where the seat of our democracy is, the center of our democracy. It resides in people. It doesn't reside in a brick-and-mortar store. It's not in a building. The founders fully well understood that our liberties are maintained within our ability to rule ourselves as individuals. If the seat of our democracy has moved to some building with a bunch of bureaucrats in it, on a hill, on one side of the country, then we have lost our country. We have lost our liberty. We've given them too much power. And how will it look like? What would it look like for us to be able to take back that power? What does a domestic enemy, you know, enemies both foreign and domestic, they swear an oath to uphold our Constitution, hold and defend our Constitution from enemies both foreign and domestic. What does a domestic enemy look like?
They would say, Donald Trump. Donald Trump's a domestic energy, a domestic enemy. Yeah. And of course, anybody who follows him or who supports him. Really? You're talking about the flag waving, anthem singing, God-fearing individuals who support Donald Trump. Those are the people you're talking about. Those are the ones who we have to fear our democracy from because they want government off their back and to be left alone by government. Those are the people we need to be fearful of. The ones who don't want tyranny, the ones who don't want mandated vaccines and mandated health care. If government wants to offer healthcare, good for you. Just figure out a way to pay for it without taking it from me. You have a right to healthcare. Don't get me wrong. You have a right to healthcare. You don't have a right to have me pay for it for you. You have a right to education, whatever education you want. What you don't have is the right for me to pay. I shouldn't have to pay for it for you. And that's where that's the whole thing. We got to figure this out. So, while I'm on that subject, I don't want to forget about this. I want to talk a little bit about the mandate thing. And I want to be making you're going to hear me say this on every show probably from now and through, I don't know when, probably till the end of time, which would be the end of COVID. The issue that I see, I hear so many people, and this has always kind of bothered me. But you know what? Here's what it boils down to, and here's where I probably will say, then this is what you need to do, and until you do this, shut up. So here we go. And you're going to hear more about this on the show this afternoon. In fact, the show this afternoon, the first entry to the live show, my main topic, unless something else pops up on my radar, you know, anything's, even at this moment, if something just pops into my head, it all of a sudden that becomes the main topic. That's what this show is all about. However, there's some other changes there too. Let me just briefly talk about the show and where it's going here. Not this particular show, but where the news, according to me, is going to go in terms of what it's going to do. Now, I may actually open a different channel on Rumble and see how that goes. I may, if I can get one that called The News According to Me. I wonder if I can actually do that. Let me see if I can. I don't know if I can do that or not. I digress. So there's two things here that are happening, I think, that are the kind of the evolution of the show here. We have what's going on there? That's kind of interesting, right? When I first started this show, and it was originally a YouTube show, until they began to shadow ban me, and it was ridiculous. I wouldn't even get one listen. I went from having several hundred subscribers, and the thing was growing exponentially very quickly, to all of a sudden a bunch of subscribers and nobody watching, like overnight, and then all of a sudden, the subscribers started going away. And the next thing I know, I had no subscribers, no listeners. I'd post a video, nothing. And it was like early on before anybody was, you know, before the big shots weren't being shadow banned. Anybody on their way up was getting purged from the system. So we had I still haven't talked about what's in my cup. Well, I'm all over the place today. You guys are probably sitting on the edge of your chair waiting to see what's in my cup. Well, you're just going to have to wait a little longer. Okay, that's enough. I have one cup full of water, and I have another cup that had orange juice in it, but that's gone because I drank all that. I still have a cup with what was hot chocolate. Now it's lukewarm chocolate. It's a little bit of creamer in it. There you go. Got that out of the way. So the show is primarily what the show used to be about. I would have commentary on other people's shows. That's why I called it The News According to Me. And then I would play other people's news things, like commentators and that kind of thing. And I would kind of enter the conversation. I would have my own take on what they were saying, almost as if they were interviewing me, kind of in a sense, by proxy. I would discuss the topics they were discussing. I would kind of have my own rebuttal and discussion to that. So I would play their clips and I would comment on them. And that seemed to be pretty popular. Got a lot of comments, got a lot of people interested in shares and likes and all that kind of stuff. A lot of views over time. There were some of the videos got thousands and thousands of views on the early on over time. I mean, within 24 hours, I'd get, a couple hundred, and then it would, after over time, of course, it just, over a couple of years, it's to be able to kind of find stuff. You don't anymore. I don't think you think they're there anymore. I think they took them off. So that's kind of what I'm planning on doing, to go back to that kind of a mentality on the show, at least for one show a day. We'll be that way. If I do have two shows, if I ever go back to two shows a day, which will happen if I do happen to leave this other position, which could happen in February, It kind of depends on what happens with this whole COVID thing. Because here's what my opinion of this is. And I'm going to push on the show this afternoon. I want to push this idea. This is something you can confront your friends on. Whether you have been vaxxed or not. Now, if you have not been vaxxed, I would challenge you to challenge all of your friends who say they're approved, they like the vaccine, they're vaccinated, but they don't support the mandate. They don't support the mandate. I'm vaccinated, but I don't support the mandate. Okay. What are you going to do about it? If you're not going to support the mandate, what are you going to do about it? Is there some place you can vote against the mandate? Well, there is. For many people, they can take a stand against the mandate, even if they're vaccinated. Because being vaccinated has nothing to do with the mandate. Disclosing your vaccination status to your employer has everything to do with the mandate. You go ahead and get yourself vaccinated all you want. Get your 24th booster if you want to. And we'll see how that works out for you here. It may or may not be good. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not a CPA. I'm not a wrestling coach. I'm not a life counselor. Did I ever say that already? I think I said that several times before. I'm not a virologist. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not a lot of things. I'm just a guy with a microphone with a bunch of opinions. What you do with those are your business. There's my disclaimer. Now, having said all that, whether or not you get vaccinated, what you think about that, that's not part of my point here. That has nothing to do with my point. Here's my point. You want to take a stand against the mandate? You really feel that strongly that you don't support the mandate and you're going to take a stand against it? Here's how you do that. You go ahead, whether you're vaccinated or not. You do not disclose your health information to your employer. Period. They want to know whether or not you're vaxxed? I'm not going to tell you. Well, you have to tell us or you're going to lose your job. Or we're going to treat you as if you're unvaxxed. That's your problem. You want to treat me that way or you want to... Here's how bad this has gotten, folks. And this is the lunacy that we are living under right now. In Rhode Island, there are hospitals there who fired a bunch of people because they would not get the vaccine. Now, there's one health system that laid off 600 and some people, almost 700 individuals. Well, now they're struggling. The reason the hospital is being overwhelmed is because they have no staff. It's a staff issue, staffing. They have no staff. But all the staff is vaccinated. The problem with the staff that's vaccinated is that a lot of them are calling out sick because they're sick. They have apparently tested positive. Now, good for them. Supposedly, that means that their symptoms will be mild. However, I got news for you. Those who, whether you've been vaccinated, whether you've had COVID before in the past, whether you have not had COVID in the past or not, Omicron has presented itself among the general population and almost everybody up to this point as nothing more than a severe cold. Mild flu-like symptoms. That's what you got. But they're claiming the vaccines work because a lot of people who are getting Omicron are vaccinated. So therefore, they're saying, well, see, the vaccines are keeping people from dying. Well, Omicron doesn't seem to be killing anyone in either camp, in any demographic. So your conclusion is just to draw that the vaccines are working. In fact, what's creepy about this is that there are more people getting Omicron proportionally per capita who are vaccinated than there are who are not vaccinated, which seems a little bit that seems a little bit odd. So but they're really, really good against the variants. I probably should make some sound bites of all that stuff. Really, really good. When somebody starts to say they're really, it's a believe me thing when they start repeating themselves over and over like that. They don't believe it themselves. That's why they're trying to convince themselves. They start to repeat themselves. So if that's what you want to do, if you want to take your stand, put your money where your mouth is. Just put your money where your mouth is. Put your job on the line. Make a stand. See, whether or not I'm vaccinated is none of your business. I disagree with the mandate, and I'm standing with my fellow Americans against this thing. You know what they're doing in this Rhode Island hospital? They're saying even if this is a note to the supervisors, even if your associates, which they're talking about their co-workers or the people that work for them, test positive, they need to evaluate whether or not it's imperative enough for them to come into work, even if they're testing positive, because of the short-staffed nature that they are under right now. Now, I just want you to step back from that a second. You have an option here. You could have a person who is unvaccinated who tests negative, or a person who is vaccinated who tests positive. And you're okay with having a vaccinated person who tests positive instead of a unvaccinated person who tests negative or could potentially test positive. What's the difference at that point? Are you telling me that vaccinated individuals aren't spreading this thing? If you believe that too, well, not as much. Okay, show me the study that shows that, because that's not what's happening here, folks. Omicron spread across the world on the backs of vaccinated individuals. No question about that. And you've got petri dish after petri dish of, you know, whether it's cruise ships, military ships, events happening all over the world, countries, states, all kinds of particular areas. Now, here's the other thing. I cannot believe, after all this, I cannot believe that Joe Biden has never had COVID at all. I'm not believing it. And there's no way. People around him have had it. Circleback Psaki has had it. You're not telling me that Joe has not had it. And if he doesn't get Omicron, then they're just flat out lying to us. Trying to make him out to be, you know, some guy with superior health and like Superman. And that's what he tries to portray all the time as he's tripping up the steps. I don't know if you've watched. If you look at the way he walks right now, it's really getting. He has to be very. When you become very deliberate about just the way you step, like when he's walking out to the helicopter, that kind of thing, he's not just strolling and striding along. He's not thinking about anything else. He's thinking about putting one foot in front of the other. You can tell he has to be very deliberate about his walking. It's the decline is becoming very noticeable. And I did mention this yesterday, and I never finished this thought. Now, Ted Cruz, it came out. I finally got a chance to listen to the interview about Ted Cruz, and I'm hearing some people put words in his mouth. He was, I don't think he ever said that the Republicans should impeach Joe Biden. I don't think that he ever said that. He said there's grounds for it. Whether or not they actually do is, he never said that. Now, the Republican Party, typically, they got so scared after they tried to impeach Bill Clinton, what it was, 30 years ago? That they, and they took a shellacking at the next midterm, and they blamed their impeachment on taking the shellacking. That's what they blamed the shellacking on. They blamed the shellacking on taking doing the impeachment. They thought that because they impeached him, that they got, that's why they got beat up so bad in the midterm. That was not why. Just because they didn't carry through with it. They didn't get it done. It was the same kind of situation where you had the House, you know, voted for impeachment, and then they ended up Senate, you know, it didn't go through the Senate. And the so now we have this situation where we have the Democrats, I think, would like for Joe to hang on just long enough. See, if the Democrats, if Joe resigns himself, or if they have to use the 24th Amendment, whatever it is, if they have to use, you know, congressional powers to get him out, to remove him from office for unfit, you know, unfit for duty. The 25th Amendment, 24th, some one of those 20-something amendments. If they have to do that, that puts it all on them. If they make the Republicans do that, then they can blame everything on the Republicans. They can make the Republicans out to be, they're just so mean they picked on poor old Joe. They picked on this poor old man. See, they don't care about old people. That's where this is going. They're going to make the Republicans out to be the enemy, the problem. Going to blame them. And then they're going to try to win, of course, in 2024 based on that. I don't know who they're going to put in position. I tell you what, Kamala Harris is not much more brighter than AOC. Speaking of AOC, let's go full circle back to AOC again, and then we're going to close off the show with this. A couple years ago, AOC was talking about Donald Trump. She's been interviewed, this high-level interview thing. And she was saying something about, well, exactly what would you go after Donald Trump on? She said, well, the emoluments clause. The emoluments. I'm pretty sure that, you know, if there's anything, it's the emoluments. Well, most of the people that she, you know, grew up on the streets with, supposedly, when she was living in the back alleys there in Bronx, you know, to hear her talk, that's where you think she came from. But that has nothing to do with where she came from at all. By the way, she was a very privileged individual as a child, comparatively. She came up with this. She figured out this word, emoluments. Emoluments. Well, she knows that she can throw those big words out there, and people think, she must be so. She's so intelligent. She uses a big word. Look at that big word she used. Oh, she must know what that. I don't even know what emoluments is. What is that? I wonder what that is. But she knows. I don't want to say anything. I'll just nod my head and say, okay, yeah, whatever that is. Oh, you're so smart. And same thing with carcery. It's a carcery state. Well, carcery is kind of a short-term word kind of used in place of incarceration. And this idea that the justice system only is all skewed against minorities, especially one particular minority, the black individuals who live in certain areas, this mass incarceration issue. The only reason that there are so many black people in prisons is because the justice system is skewed against them. There would be just as many white people and Hispanics there if it was fair. There needs to be equity. Equity. 16% of the population supposedly is black, and yet over half the population in the prisons is black. It couldn't possibly be a cultural problem, when I say cultural problem, I'm not talking about the color of your skin. I'm not talking about your heritage either. I'm not talking about the country that you originated from. I'm not talking about your intellect or your ability to think for yourself and make choices for yourself. I'm talking about, where are the pastors? Where are the leaders in these communities that are lifting up a higher standard? So the last thing I want to talk about today is this story, and it's the example of... I almost can't talk about this. I don't know if I can talk about this. I every time I see the story pop up on the news and I start to listen to any part of it, if I happen to be listening to a broadcast and they start talking about this, it is so sickening to me, I can almost not even listen to it. I don't want to hear it. And the more details I hear about it, the worse it gets. And I have never been so disgusted in my life. A female police officer in Chicago. Her and her partner were shot. Her partner is still in critical condition, I believe. She was killed. Apparently with her own gun. Now, how it got to that, I don't know. There was a domestic disturbance, which is usually where this stuff starts. Something to do with someone complaining about people being loud. They arrived on the scene. Somehow the guy got her gun. There was two guys. One of them got her gun. Shot her. I think she was shot in the leg, something. She was down on the ground, pleading for her life. Telling the guy he didn't have to do this, don't do this, just go away. Well, he wouldn't have that because, this is a police officer and they're pigs. And he just needs to get rid of him. He needs to be the big guy. So he shot her two more times, killed her. Now, at some point in this kid's life, the bleeding hearts would tell you, oh, he just was a victim of society and white man's oppression, whatever. You know what you can go, what you can do with that. Somewhere in this kid's life, he was convinced that his life didn't matter. I don't know where Black Lives Matter was when this kid was growing up. But for some reason, he didn't think his life was precious, that mattered, that he could make a difference in the world, that there was anything positive about his life. And that's why he had no respect for anyone else's life either. Somewhere along the line, somebody dropped the ball. And when this happens in a mass way, across a culture, across a demographic, you have developed a culture within that group that is in decline. And the people to blame are the leaders of that community. And in my opinion, the leaders of most communities should be pastors. If you as a pastor have done nothing but blame someone else for their, your oppression is because of that group over there. The reason you're down and pressed down and done in is because that group over there has been oppressing you. It's not your fault. It's their fault. Blame somebody else. You know, anybody who's ever grown up in this world, who's actually grown up in this world, who's been around long enough to see what life is about, understands, regardless of someone's skin color, there's always somebody there to oppress you and keep you down and be jealous and push you back and keep you from attaining. Always. I don't care what color your skin is. Bullies picked on me in high school. Somebody, I'm sure somebody picked on them. We all face adversity of some kind in life. I don't blame my adversary. I find a way to go around that, or through that, or over that. So that's where I'm at with that. I hope that makes sense. Let's get ready to rumble. This afternoon, 4 o'clock. Let's make it 4 o'clock this afternoon. We're going to have a show live on Rumble. If it's not on Epic Video About Nothing, it will be on The News According to Me. And it might be The News According number two, me. If that makes sense. Instead of the word two. I'll have to see what kind of screen name I can get on there to work on that stuff. Somebody's probably already taken my other screen name. So I'm going to work on that. And yeah, we'll go from there. In the meantime, pray for our nation, especially today, January 6th, a day that will live in infamy. God bless everybody. Have a great day.